Believe we are live. Where is that? Boom. Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. What's up, George? What's going on today?
Oh, man. Today we have a few things to talk about. We got Legos. We got numbers. We got, you know, all kinds of funny, fun stuff. So let's do it.
Let's do it. Yo.
Woo.
Good morning.
What a night. What a night. Good morning, everyone.
Welcome. December back in 63. What a very special time for me.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. Grab your brew. Let's talk some comics. Let's talk some pop culture.
And wake
Let's
up.
Talk about some stuff. Yeah, and wake up, man. It was a long night last night.
Yes. So what's up, JS? Good morning.
Ooh. Jay, what up, my man?
Oh, Jay, man. With the gauge of vanilla with the nine.
Wow. full of music and rhymes today. Yo, dude, what a freaking live stream yesterday.
Yes.
Adelis, good morning. Yo, I wish the chat stayed up because some of the freaking comments.
Oh, it was hilarious. I could catch up.
Oh my God. It was so good. Dude, that vibe was like, I would love to be like at a bar with some of these people and just everybody just joking. Like, it's so much fun. It was crazy, dude.
It was crazy. I don't know why I feel like we were clubbing last night because I feel like crap.
Oh, dude. I'm like, yo, what the hell happened?
It's
all for this. But no, but yeah, thank you, everyone, for pledging. That was fun. Yeah, it was. Thank you so much for pledging last night, for being on the stream, for watching us just. Crash and burn. Daphne Lage, yo.
She came in. She's a pinch hitter.
Oh my God. I honestly, for a second, I thought this isn't going to happen today. We're just going to have to, you know, figure it out and come back tomorrow. But it went live. And for everybody, I just updated. Good morning.
Good morning, Flash by Night Comics.
I just updated. I call it the weekend bundle now. So it's running from now until Sunday night. So if you guys want that bundle, it's there it's going to be for the t-shirt, the cover that I did of the book, the Hollow Fall sticker, and the graphic novel. So all those four items are going to be there.
That's a steal. Remington steal. Remember Remington steel?
I remember Remington steel. Yes, indeed. But what's up, Sammy? What's going on, my brother? Yo, you guys had some rough weather. I saw Oklahoma, man, got hit with some freaking tornadoes, dude. Like,
yeah. We were all on alert for, I got lucky, it was just thunder and rain here. And it's right now, it's really cloudy and it's dark outside. And it's, you know, usually at this time, it's bright. So the weather's just been, you know, I guess I count my blessings and I wish everybody in Oklahoma all the best. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but we're in that tornado season. So we're not out of it, dude. Not out of the woods until like some mid June.
Yeah.
And then we go into the heat wave and that's a whole nother story.
It's going to be your first summer there, right?
It'll be my first. Yeah. Cause I came here at the tail end of the summer.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be your first full summer.
Yeah.
In Texas. It's already,
and the dogs can't handle it, you know, cause like I work out in the garage. And so when you're in the garage, I have to have the door open in the garage and it still feels like I'm in a furnace.
Damn, dude. So, yes. Well, yeah, I mean, with the door open, I'm sure you got that hot wind coming in.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Texas is off the chain.
Good old Texas. Yeah, no, we're gonna be talking about some of the stuff that you're doing in Texas in just a little bit. But yeah, no, welcome everyone to the chat. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for all the support, man. We got a new subscriber last night. So yeah, make sure that you subscribe, like, comment. We didn't even do any of that stuff last night.
It was just crazy, right? It was like, exactly.
We're a little all over the place. Bam.
Speak English.
Speak English. We had some mood music towards the end. That was nice.
DJ, the DJ crazy man in the house.
You were DJing last night. It was good.
I gotta put some melody on, you know, before people are like, yo, what's going on with these guys?
Yeah, these guys really, really dropped the ball on that one. Like, that was a fun stream, man. It was good times. But yeah, bro. So we got some stuff to talk about today. What up, Dan? How you doing? Good morning, sir.
Oh, what's up, Danny? Yeah, we shouted you out, Dan, yesterday.
Dan Price. Yeah, I was on his live stream yesterday, yeah. Dude. Dan is awesome, man. So for those who don't know, Dan's got a book called Bigfoot Knows Karate.
Yeah.
And last night, dude, we were on the live stream. My man's drawing he's digitally drawing on a tablet. My man's using his finger, dog. He's out there with his finger, just chill. Yo, and the stuff that he's drawing is off the hook. So you guys have to definitely, if you don't follow him, go to Instagram.
Oh, the reason why he won the cover for Comics Wellspring, so congratulations on that.
Oh, that was gorgeous. Cover. Yeah, big, big shout out to him. He won that contest. Comics Wellspring is a print-on-demand company that had a contest for the best cover. And, you know, he was in it.
Killed
and
it.
The people had to vote, and he won.
Nobody had a chance.
Yeah, no, it was off the chain.
When he put that piece in, I was like, you get ready, you're going to the prom, and you think that you got Cabarucci's, but everybody else got like
Cabarucci's. bro, what are we doing? Like, people are like, what the hell is that?
Now,
I don't know if that's a New York thing. I don't know if people watching all over know what Cabarucci's are. It could be an era thing because we old as hell, or it could be just like because we're from New York and Cabarucci's were the joint.
Oh, this
is Cabarucci's.
You think you look fly? And then here comes Dan Price, right? Yeah. He's all blinged out. And you're like, oh, damn. He's getting all the attention. Like, I'm walking away.
Yo, for those who are watching, Sam, tell them what Cabarucci's are.
You tell them what Cabarucci's are.
No, you tell them. You brought it up. Yo, Jay said he had a pair. All right.
Remember Giorgio Puccini's?
What'd you say?
Giorgio Puccini's?
This guy. He ages us every day. Look, you know what's funny? All right. Adam Caswell did the BF. He destroyed it. Okay, so Adam Caswell, big shout out to him.
Oh, nice.
He said, you say Cavaricci's? Oh, I love it. I freaking love it. Good. So everybody, so we're on the same page. We know.
I gotta watch out when I laugh because I almost snorted.
Yeah? Stuff doesn't come out of your mouth. I mean, out of your nose. You're good.
Word.
My pants were a great color. Damn, Jay. You're doing your thing.
Remember Grape Ape? Grape Ape.
Oh, snap. That is amazing.
The days. I used to go down to West 4 to the village to go get my stuff, bro.
Oh, back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore.
Oh, man. Those were the days. That was the squad would get together. It's like, yo, we got to get our new kicks. And we go down to the village. Oh, man. It was the...
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. Oh, Jesus. Good stuff. Anyway, yes. So I was on Dan's show last night. So big shout out to him. Big shout out to our Robert Garcia, who we've had on the show. He's got a book out right now. So make sure you check that out. And then Anthony Stokes, he's got a book called Decay. And that
Ray book on shirt, bro.
Yeah, rayon shirt to boot. Damn. All right. Damn, the styles. What was that?
The
90s or the 80s? Late 80s, early 90s, I guess.
Yeah, late 80s.
Good times.
Yeah, because I transitioned from that phase in the 80s to the 90s to like the hip hop phase. So everything always moved, you know. You went with what was trending.
Oh, God, that's crazy. Fun stuff. But anyway, so, yeah, so the next few weeks are going to be very interesting for both of us. I'll have the campaign going. You're going to be going to Vegas.
Vegas.
At the end of the month, the 24th through the 26th, you're going to be out there doing some business. What are you going to be doing out there, Sam? Let everybody know.
I'm going to be at the Licensing Expo. One of the biggest undertakings of my life. I'll be at booth D104. Everything's been coming in. So I've been spending the past few weeks designing the booth look, you know, creating the templates, ordering the props, getting everything together. Not only that, but part of the expo is because it's a business meeting, it's weekdays and you're meeting with, you know, licensing agents and acquisitions teams and all that other stuff. And you're pitching your stuff basically, and you're trying to expose it to the right audience. Then it's also meeting setups. So, you know, the great thing about the expo is that they give you an app and you set up meetings. So I've been doing that. I have about 10 meetings lined up. So that's pretty dope. So it's just been a lot of work and a lot of grind getting ready for that. So I'm excited. I have a buddy of mine on Monday is going to be there to help me set up the booth. And then I have another buddy of mine who's great with customer service. He's going to be there the other 3 days to, so he's going to basically do what he does best. And it's basically woo and sell the product and, you know, the whole bit and just like talk to the media and all that stuff. And so it's going to be fun. I'm excited about that. And then when I come back, you know, then, you know, it doesn't end there. When I come back, then we launch. There's Nailing Bam. My Toilet Issue number 2. So yeah,
don't we have a little bump for him? Don't we have something for him?
I do have a bump. Yes.
Let's show that real quick.
It's a new bump. So here it is.
Oh.
Here it is.
Hi, I'm Samuel, and I'm the creator of There's Nailing My Toilet Issue number 2 coming to Kickstarter. I'm so excited about this series. It's filled with variant covers, homage covers, and not only that, you get the guidebook, you can get the coloring book, and also the back issue variant covers from issue 1 if you missed that one. But not only that, I'm excited about the activity book. This one is filled with how to draw duty characters, puzzles, mazes, trivia questions, and so much more. But that's not all. I'm introducing Volume 2 of the trading card game. And this one has the element cards, the level 1 cards, the villain cards, the hero cards, and so much more. But then you can also get the stickers. If you missed out on the sticker pack, here's your chance to get as many stickers as you want of some of the most adorable characters from the book. I'm so excited over the years that I've received so many critic reviews, especially the newest one from Mary Dumas from Pop Culture Place, who purchased 5 copies for her store, and she recommends it to every parent that comes along. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you, Mary. So, I hope that you all come back and support There's an Alien in My Toilet issue number 2. And for all you physical backers that backed us on issue 1 and you're coming back for issue 2, I have a special gift for you. This amazing refrigerator magnet of Super Duty as he does battle against the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poo Poo. And that's my way of just saying thank you to every one of you. So if you haven't done so already, please sign up. And when we go live, make sure you pledge. I appreciate every one of you. Have a great day.
Cool. Excellent, dude. Like the music. I'm just bopping along as I'm listening to it. That's awesome. Yeah. Good stuff, dude. The cards look dope, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. What were you got some cards there. You got some stuff.
Yeah. Early 90s. Yes,
everywhere. It'll be like the fresh
prints. The fresh prints. I know. So, yeah. So, here are the cards in my hand. I'm going to put this on a bigger screen. So, I'll lay out real quick. So, here's the cards. So, this is the new generation playing cards. And this is actually the uranium chip cards. So, this is where you can actually buy fuel or power based on where you are on your spin. This is actual power cards. So this gets you to re-up and reboot on that. But here's one. Here's a Nebuloid card. This is one of the villain cards. And so there's the gameplay rules and everything. And, all the cards that you see. So all the cards are ready. So what I'm trying to do with this campaign is have everything ready so I can get everything to everybody sooner. than I did the last one. And I do want to say thank you, Vero. I just, you know, you just updated and sent me your address. So from the campaign issue one that ended, I never got your address, but thank you for sending it to me. So your package is going out tomorrow morning and you should have it soon. But yeah. So if you back Wonder Duck and you sign up and you back There's an Alien in My Toilet, you're going to get the refrigerator magnet as well. So where's that dang thing? Just want to show you guys. There it is. You'll get that refrigerator magnet for your refrigerator as my thank you. For all new backers who didn't back the campaign for issue one, and if you come and you back physically get back this one, you'll get that as well. So it's my way of saying thank you to everybody.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And then I'm doing the Denton Comic Art Exposition in August. So, I come back from Expo, launch Disney Alien in My Toilet issue number 2. Then I do Fan Expo in Dallas, hopefully, because they took my money already. And then after that, that's in June. And then in August, I'm doing the let me show that so that people can see what that is. There it is, Denton Comic Art Exposition. It's a kids comic con and it's one day only, and it's at the Patterson Appleton Art Center in Denton, Texas. And
Is that far from you?
Nah, it's about like 30 minutes from me or something like that. I forgot. Yeah, it's not far.
Cool. I like the little logo. That looks cool, man. That looks like a good show.
So yeah, so that's good. I'll be busy the next few months.
Word. No, that's awesome, dude. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, I know, Dan. It's like, I sent him 5 emails. You know, I sent him another email, and you know what they sent me? Terrible, my paid invoice. That was it. They just said invoice paid. I was like, I know I paid it. You took the money out in February, but they still haven't even updated the, I don't understand what kind of racket they're running, but yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy, though, that they took your money and there's no response. That's terrible, dude.
So I'm just assuming I'll be there. So I'm prepping as if I'm going to be there. So I'm going to make sure my inventory is legit.
Oh, man. No, that's what it's all about, man. I mean, listen, we talked about this last night briefly with as far as kids comics and stuff like that. You know, we're big proponents of it. Don't get me wrong. I like the hardcore stuff. I like all that other stuff as well. I grew up on reading comics, watching cartoons, and I like to incorporate both into it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I love the fact that we're able to do that. But yeah, man, so that's going to be cool. You're going to be doing that. What do you got? Any more comments coming through?
No, I was reading the other comments that I skipped through really quickly. I was just laughing.
So you weren't paying attention.
I didn't see the Scaramucci part. Yeah.
You didn't see that? Yeah, dude. Oh,
man. Yeah, you know, my eyes move quick. I'm like,
your eyes, your brain. They don't match up sometimes. I understand.
Oh, my brain moves faster than my mouth can actually.
Yeah, I wanted to segue from the thing that I had about MegaCon to your convention, but you kind of jumped ahead of me over here. But yeah, no. Listen, if anybody watching are WWE fans, MegaCon is happening in Orlando this not this weekend. It's going to be in a couple of weekends. It's towards the end of the month, the 21st and 22nd, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they're going to have some WWE superstars out there. Sam, you watched wrestling back in the days, I think you said, right?
But
you
I watched watching. When it was WWF.
Back in the day.
With the Junkyard Dog, British Bulldogs, Ted DiBiase, Macho Man Randy Savage. That was my era.
Yeah, because they had the cartoon. Remember they had the cartoon in the morning?
Yeah. I love the British Bulldogs, man. They were legit.
Yo, it's so sad what's happened to a lot of these wrestlers, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, in football, they have this thing that the CTE, where too many hits to the head causes like this trauma inside your brain, which causes you to do crazy things. Yeah. And some of these guys have taken their lives, and I wonder if that's just a correlation to that. You know what I mean? Just guys getting hit over the head enough.
Absolutely, I think so. And I get worried about that because it's not immediate. It's long term.
No, effect. It's long term, right? Your brain slowly deteriorates that way.
Jake the Snake. Roberts. Like when I hit my head on the concrete a couple months ago. Now, I had migraine. Dude. I had a migraine for a week. So I'm like, how is this going to affect long term? You know what I mean? Because that stuff would you get in car crashes. You know, they say report it because you don't know. Even if you feel like I'm walking away, I feel all right. You don't know what the long term implications will be
The scary stuff is like when people hit their heads like that, go to sleep and never wake up. Like that's how when it happened, yeah. I was like, yo, dude, don't go to sleep, bro. Like stay up.
Yeah, instead I opened up a bottle of wine.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the water rock in me, bro. Yeah, the chair shots. Yeah. And that's why I don't like the underground wrestling, because there's no sanctions, there's no protection. You see some of these stories about the underground wrestlings where they were really violent and they really cut you, and the people were leaving stretchers. I'm like, come on, man, you're supposed to be fun. You're not supposed to go in there and kill each other.
That's some gladiator stuff right there,
bro. Yeah.
That's like, you know, and the crowd wants that kind of stuff. It's kind of crazy because the crowd is clamoring for like, yeah, like hit him harder.
No,
like,
we're in a violent state right now.
Dude, right you now. Saw what happened. You saw what happened to Dave Chappelle the other day.
It's crazy. But you saw the after effects of that guy, no, right?
So my man's elbow was like the other way.
And if you listen to the crowd, the crowd was saying F him up.
Wow.
The crowd was F him up. You know, so it's like so now shit, dude. It's like now it's blood. But right now something's going on psychologically because of the lockdowns and the shutdowns and everything else, the depression and you know all that stuff. And you see a lot of violence on the rise. I mean, New York City alone, 500 shootings this year so far, up 10% over last year. That's huge. Texas, it's out of control. You know, the violence. Really?
Yeah, because New York, dude, New York, the crime in New York is nuts right now, bro.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
So right now we're in a sensitive state. It's crazy. And, you know, so that it's, I think, you know, there's this, what's it called? Desensitized, you know, it's that immediate impulse reaction without thinking about the impact of my reaction. And that's what's causing people to make serious mistakes and, that they wouldn't have done before, you know?
Yeah. No, it's bananas, bro. It's bananas. But if you're going to be in Orlando, go to the convention and check out some of these.
The Undertaker.
Some of these movies. Yeah, they got The Undertaker. They got the, you know who the Bella Twins are? Bree and Nikki.
Yes. Rick. Yes. One of them was engaged to, she was engaged to, what's John his name? Yeah, she was John in love Cena. With him. Yeah. He just like, I'm out.
She wanted to, you know, have kids, get married, and he was like, not right now, you know?
He goes, you know who I is? I'm John Cena. I'm having the best time of my life. No lockdowns right now.
Yeah, but she's happy. She's married. I think she had a baby if she's not pregnant or something. But she's good now.
Yeah, I saw them.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about, like, conventions and, like, celebrities, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason in my mind, I look at it as once celebrities start doing conventions, it's either the end of their career or they're no longer as relevant as they used to be. Do you think that that's the case and it's like a money grab for them to go to these conventions? Or do you think, you know, they're just trying to promote something, man? And like, so they're going to these conventions to promote because they know that's what they're doing.
All depends on the venue. If you have your local convention, like, you know, in your state, your local conventions, which probably brings in, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, maybe 10,000 people. I think those are the celebrities that are on their way out or just trying to keep their name relevant. If you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, those celebrities they're being sponsored by the studios to go out there and do the press kit where are you going to do it? You're going to do it at the Comic-Con, the San Diego or New York Comic-Con, the big venues. So it all depends on the venue.
I guess they have the money to bring them in too.
Yes, because like for instance, Big Apple Comic Con in New York, they bring the same cats all the time, right? And it's the same C-list celebrities that were big in their heyday, but they're no longer relevant to the generation today. But they're affordable and they still have a draw because of nostalgia, right? So you have the fans that appreciate their work and what they did, and they're gonna go after that signature. They want to get that photo op or whatever it is, or that piece of merchandise that they couldn't get anywhere else, or they had a piece, an item that they would like to get signed that they've been sitting on and waiting for that moment to meet them. So it all depends. You know, it's everybody has their moment in the sun, and then the sun turns into clouds.
No, it's a good point, because like, you know, once they start going to the smaller conventions, the ones that are being held in like these small like hotels and stuff like that, that's when you're like, oh, okay, this is the end. You know, this is towards the end. We're just trying to make a little bit of money. But the crazy thing is they still charge a lot of money for these photo ops and these signatures.
Because their name still has weight. So it's not going to bring in tens of thousands, but it's going to bring in a good chunk of people that are just there for them. And you'll see that when you go to those events, you see that they have a line. Yeah. You know,
they do, bro. They do. People still, you know, line up.
Yeah. So as long as there's always a draw, they'll always remain relevant to that loyalist, that fan. You know, it's interesting. I remember, like, the question always came up, like, when I saw Lou Ferrigno at the Comic Cons. I'm like, at the smaller cons, I'm like, why? I said, Lou Ferrigno, you're the Hulk. You know, my
no, mind. Lou, no.
or what's his name? Who played Chewbacca?
Yeah, remember,
You know, it's like when you see, you know, I'm like, or like, you know, the cast of the Warriors. They're always at the Big Apple Comic Con, right? And so, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, you get it. It's all relative, you know. It all depends on where you are on the pyramid scheme. You know, you're gonna have your moment when you're on top, and then you're gonna start working your way down.
Yeah, that's true.
Eric Estrada will always have a paycheck. Wow, chips. Wow.
Yo, that's Eric Estrada. Chips. Oh, that's amazing that he brought up Eric Estrada. No, yeah, no, it's a good point, man. I think that it is. It really does depend on the venue where they're being presented. And you know, I saw they're gonna be at MegaCon. I'm like, all right, I wonder what they're gonna be charging.
MegaCon brings about 80,000 people.
Yeah, that's a big show, dude. That's a huge show.
Yeah,
we were thinking, you know, for a while about doing it. I thought it was early. I thought it was like the 17th or something.
No, I applied for MegaCon and I missed the deadline.
Oh yeah, it's the
third I missed weekend. The deadline because I was on the fence because of I was really thinking about Licensing Expo, so I was on the fence with MegaCon. I was like, if I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket, it's going to be this. The good thing, the Denton Comic Con and the Fan Expo, they took my money a long time ago because there's no more money. the Licensing Expo took all my money. There's no more money. So right now, it's like I just got to ride the wave the rest of the year and see what happens.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, before we go into our next little topic of conversation, why don't we give a shout out to Daphne Lage and Nita Lanning. Daphne, for what she did last night. I don't know if you had that set up, but let's give a little bump.
Oh, yes, it's ladies' night.
Boom, let's give him a little bump. Thank you very much for hooking it up last night.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out their channel, you should, and here's the reason why.
I love how they slow it down. Like it starts fast and then the beat slows down. Yeah. It's a nice little promo. So yeah, make sure you guys check out the Raging 2 Network and sign up and subscribe to a lot of their shows are cool, man. I like a lot of their shows. I'm actually going to be in a couple of them in the next few weeks. So you'll see me on there as well promoting The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Yeah. But yeah, dude, listen, Legos, bro. Let's talk Legos.
Lego.
For a brief second. I don't know if you're aware, and I don't know how much of a fan of Harry Potter you are, but Harry Potter is Lego reveals Harry Potter Professors of Hogwarts Brickhead set. They're going to have a set of the professors from the from Hogwarts. So they're going to have Professor Snape, Professor McGonagall. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Mad Eye Moody and Professor Trelawney. I mean, listen, for you. Or you Harry Potter fans.
You're wanting to go outside?
You want a man? The Lego set's going to be priced at $39.99, man. How big of a fan are you of Legos, and how big of a fan are you of Harry Potter? And do you like the mix?
See, I was never a Lego fan.
No?
No. You know, I had friends who were. I wasn't. So Lego fans, I'm not taking anything away from you, so they'll come at me. What I'm saying is I wasn't because it was just a lot of stuff, right? I was a G.I. Joe action figure fan. Oh, you know, for me, it was about my Joes, my He-Man figures, you know, my ColecoVision, you know, that's what I was into. Legos, it just, for me, it was just like, it was, I didn't want
it. Was kitty stuff? It was kitty stuff.
Because what happened? It looked messy to me. You just have boxes and boxes of parts. Messy. And I was like, ah, hell no, I'm not dealing with all those parts. Yes. Legos are expensive. Yeah, my nephew. Legos are my nephew. Good thing he's older now, but when he was growing, all he wanted was Legos, and you'd go for Christmas to get him like the Star Wars Lego set or whatever it was, and their stuff was pricey. I'm like, damn. I was like, actually, this stuff is just gonna go. He's gonna miss parts. It's gonna go into a little Tupperware somewhere in the closet, and you're gonna be stepping on them in the morning when you're trying to go get coffee. Like, ah, geez. But yeah, he's still a big Lego collector. Yeah. And he'll get like the most. He'll have like 1,000 pieces or 2,000 pieces, and he's putting these things together. He'll spend, you know, a week at, you know, just bong bong. There's people who are just enthusiasts, and, you know, Godspeed, you do your thing, baby.
No, yeah. I liked Legos growing up. But I didn't have like the big sets like they have. You know how they have these big Star Wars sets, and everything is licensed, which is, you know, going back to the whole licensing thing. You know, Lego licenses a lot of these, you know, properties, you know, Star Wars. Now they have, you know, Harry Potter and stuff like that, which is, I guess, why they can price them so high, because the fan base is so big that they can get away with charging $40 for four figures and nobody bats an eye. If you're a big enough fan, if your kids want it that bad enough, maybe you'll go out and grab them. But they are expensive, dude. The Lego Museum is cool to see. Where is the Lego Museum, Jay? I know they have a bunch of Lego stores all over the place, but I'm not exactly sure where the actual Lego Museum is. But yeah, so if you guys are, you know, fans of those kind of things, they don't know when they're releasing them yet, but you can pre-order the Brickhead set. Now you're a fan of Harry Potter, though.
I if I come back in my next life, I want to go to Hogwarts, you know, and. You know, I want to fly on a dragon. I want to do some stuff. You know?
Do some real that.
I want to walk into a train station and walk right into a wall, and you know, and end up in a whole different place. You know, it's like, come on.
I guess that was the beauty of that story, right?
It was fantastic.
She really put you in that world. It was timing is everything, man. And she just came at the right time, I think.
She came at the right time, and you know, it was she inspired a generation. I mean, when you took, I mean, come on, you've seen the ages of the kids that were reading these books that were as thick as an encyclopedia, and these kids were locked in. You know,
just kids, grown-ups, bro.
Yes, no, but exactly. But you know, most kids they're attracted to pictures, and she gave them literature, and they fell in love. So she did something that sometimes schools have a hard time do, getting you to even study for a test. You know, these kids were locked in to a book, and they were, and their imaginations were running wild, and then the film, and then it was just like over.
Yeah, no, she killed it with that, you know. And I mean, they're still doing stuff with the franchise.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, which I don't know how well it's doing at this point.
Fantastic Beasts is on fire.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Because I feel like that, you know, everything has its peaks and valleys, and I feel like she hit the peak, and now I think she's kind of like, it's just plateauing. But again, I don't know, because I remember a few years ago, obviously, Harry Potter was all the rage. I mean, all, what was it, 8 movies? So she was doing her thing. And that's the dream, right? To write a story that, you know, has that kind of impact on, dare I say, the world. You know what I mean? And kids and grown-ups. Because I'm telling you, a lot of grown-ups were reading those books too. It wasn't just the kids. And some of these things I couldn't even pronounce. I still can't pronounce some of the stuff that's in those books and the world she built. Talk about world building. Yes. She did a really good job. What are you looking up? I know you're looking up numbers and figures.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. This kid always just starts looking up stuff. See, this is what, you know what it is? And I love it, because this is like the free flow that we have. We didn't plan any of this stuff, so Sam doesn't have the stuff pulled up. So he'll go in there in his little computer. Look at him. He's just out of it. He's look at his smile. He doesn't even know he's smiling right now. He's got that. Don't look at his face like.
Yeah. So which was this one? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them did almost $1 billion worldwide, the first one. Almost $1 billion worldwide. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
What you're saying?
Their budget was $180 million. Dang. So they made that 5 times over. Just for that first one. I'm just
Is this what are they up to?
That was the first one. Fantastic Beasts.
They're up to the third one, right? Or the second one?
Yeah, the third one is out now, and it was doing. What's with the third one doing? How much did Fantastic? No, I don't want. I don't want Claws. I want gross. Stop acting up. So Fantastic Beasts. No, I don't want that one. The Crimes of Grim. Whatever. Let's see that one. The second one did $654 million.
So it dropped a little bit.
Yes, and it still made back its budget three times over. And the new one is out now, I think, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts box office. This one is. Box office. I don't want that success. Get out of there. The Secrets of Dumbledore, is that one this one is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Yep.
So this one has been out. It came out about a week ago. So it's already at $333 million right now.
So it is. So that's what I'm saying. There is a drop. Like you go from a billion to 600.
But it's only been out. It's only been out since the 15th.
No, but the second one, the second one dropped significantly from the first one. So that's what I'm saying. There's a little bit. There's kind of like a dip now. It's not as, you know, it isn't what it was, which is understandable. They still make choose your own adventure books. That's a good question, man. I used to like those. I had a Batman one. That I used to love reading, Choose Your Own Adventure. You know, if you do this, it goes here. If you do that, turn to page, whatever. Those were dope. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, but you know, also, one of the things the article that says is that Fantastic Beasts was always also going up against the Batman and everything. So I think the arena's gotten competitive as well. But it's still profitable. I mean, everyone's still making money hand over fist.
I think it's always been competitive. I mean, think about when, like, for example, the Fantastic Beasts, that stuff came out during MCU time. Like the MCU is huge. So there's always been competition. I don't know. I mean, I think the numbers will tell as soon as this movie, you know, leaves the box office. But I think there is. I think that there's something to say about, I think people, you know, you get a little Harry Potter fatigue sometimes. And I know they're trying to change it up and it's Fantastic Beasts. And listen, if you're a fan of Harry Potter or Fantastic Beasts,
I love the Fantastic Beasts.
You know, let us know what you think.
Franchise.
You know, is there a dip? Is there, you know, people losing interest a little bit, you know, in some of this stuff? I don't know.
No, I think it comes back down to the PR and marketing team and how creative they are in keeping things alive and making sure it stays fresh in everybody's mind. You know, and again, in a world with so many distractions, you know, it's like it's a challenging space to be in. Everyone's fighting for that dollar. You know, so, you know, but, you know, it's a great franchise. It's very profitable. I mean, this one's on its way to either meet what it did last time or whatever. But it's already made back its budget over $100 million worth. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's good. I think it's still making money. It's just the amount of money that they're making, I think, isn't the same as it used to be. But,
yeah,
you know, let's see what continues. I'd love to go to the Harry Potter world or whatever it is. In Orlando, that they have that whole world of Harry Potter. That looks dope. That looks amazing.
Sign me up.
Yeah, so that looks cool. That looks really cool. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's that's interesting. With Lego and whatchamacallit. You what did you have? You had something else that
I saw something about Garbage Pail Kids. Who remembers
Nostalgia. Nostalgia. Yeah.
So Garbage Pail Kids and Mad Balls clash in a crossover comic book. By Dynamite Entertainment. So then I was reading this because I remember Garbage Pail Kids was a rip on Cabbage Patch Kids.
I collected them. I collected a lot of the Garbage Pail Kids, man.
Yeah. And, you know, so in 1985, they were designed a parody of the Cabbage Patch Kids, which were popular at the time. Each sticker, and they started off as stickers, and then it became this franchise and this empire. And it's amazing how a lot of the reason why I brought this up is a lot of the nostalgic stuff is coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot of these remaking and remastering and all this other stuff reintroducing to the new generation, you know, and now with this crossover comic book, how do you think it's going to fare? You know, you think about, I mean, think about it. I mean, Cabbage Patch Kids, they were so expensive, the dolls. You know, back in the 80s, they were over $100.
Were they really?
Yeah, the Cabbage Patch doll, the authentic. You get the generic ones, you're going to get the ghetto ones, you're going to get them for freaking, 30, 40, 50 bucks. But the authentic Cabbage Patch ones, and I remember the biggest mistake, God rest her soul, I love you, Mom. The biggest mistake my mom made was, getting my sister a bootleg version because, my mom was raising four kids on her own, and so I understood it, but my sister's friends didn't understand it, and they took her to town because her friends
made them bootleg.
Cabbage Patch Kids came with a certificate of authenticity. Birth certificate. That's what it was. And they had the numbers or whatever. They were authentic. The box, everything. My sister didn't have. She had the one from Tito on the corner. And and her girlfriends were brutal. Her girlfriend, the kids were brutal. When you're a kid, you don't understand how you're going to destroy somebody. So it was just rough. But I remember with Garbage Pail Kids, I collected the stickers for a minute.
I had a bunch of them.
Yeah, for a hot minute. And they were fire. I mean, they're still fire. Look at that art there.
It's funny because, like, when you look at some of the names on these things, I'm sure they've changed them up a little bit for today's world. But some of the names of some of these characters that they would have were kind of, they were a little out there. Yeah, they were out there. I mean, I think cancel culture would have had a field day with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, please don't hate me. Don't come at me. But my sister and my best friend, Angel, we used to call them. kids are cruel. It wasn't just me. It was the neighborhood. Because my sister, my friend Angel used to have, my friend Angel used to always have like green snot in his nose. And my sister was orange. It's not in her nose. They always had they were like the Booger Twins. So I'm sorry. Don't hate me. When we were kids, it was horrible.
Booger Twins.
So we tried to get them to get married because he was like, you got so much in common.
Nice.
My sister beat me up so many times.
With reason, with good reason. The Booger twins.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Kids can be so cruel.
So when I saw this picture with the kid with the boogers, it just reminded me of it. Of that stuff.
Yo, they had so I'm on their website right now. Exclusive Cabbage Patch Kids are still going for
$89.99. Crazy.
It's a 17-inch exclusive baby color ribbons, blah blah. 20-inch exclusive kids shoes and color ribbons. So yeah, so they're no joke, man. They're still expensive.
Still expensive, and of course.
and then you have the hand stitch Cabbage Patch Kids. The hand stitch got to be more than that. Yeah, $330. Good lord, that's a lot of money. Oh boy, woo. Random thought. Jay's laughing. Oh man, that's insane, dude.
The history.
So wait, so the Cabbage Patch Kids. So when is it being released? The crossover. Jay's a twin. No kidding. Holy, that's awesome.
Oh, the crossover is being released. Where is that? Does it have a date?
Dynamite's releasing it. Oh, Dynamite's got the rights to it.
Dynamite. It doesn't have a date. I got some great. Oh, I skipped that whole art stuff. Hold on. Some great art.
Let me see.
I just want to go back to the art. Right. Hold on.
Mad Bowls were cool too, man. Like that was that the ones that you would squeeze them and like boogers would come out their nose and stuff? They were like crazy. Look at that. Damn, that looks.
The nuts. Art is sick. I love the art.
Nuts. Yo, straight rip off freaking Cabbage Patch Kids, bro.
Yes.
That's freaking funny. Oh yeah, One Eye Jack.
Cyclops. Loving it.
Wow, look, that looks cool, man.
It does look cool. It looks fun.
That actually looks cool. Look at that. What the heck? Oh man, it makes me want to go search for these stickers. I never took them out of the card itself. I always kept them, and I had like a stack of those.
July. Stickers.
July. Yeah, I never peeled them. I never stuck them anywhere, the stickers. I just collected the cards.
Yeah, I never wanted to peel my stuff. I don't, man, if I kept everything that I ever had, I'd be rich right now. My brother, I told the story before, I had every He-Man, I had every G.I. Joe, I had the Thundercats, I had so much stuff. And I came home one day from school. I was in the fifth grade. I came home from school and everything was gone.
Yeah, no, man. You say, you tell that story. It's devastating. That's a devastating story, bro.
Devastating, bro.
How does that happen? That's just wrong.
Yes. That's and I was wrong, and I was young at that time. And I was like, man, when I get older, he's going to get a look.
When I get older, brother, I'm
yeah. gonna catch you. When I got older, it was on. I was like, yo, now it's time to get your ass beat. I cried. I was devastated. I went around the whole neighborhood. I looked in every trash can. I went everywhere. I couldn't find it, bro. I couldn't find it. I was pissed.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Dramatic man. Childhood experience.
So wait, so Sam, let me ask you a question. Oh yeah, I was just on the same website. So how many copies does that book need to make a profit or sell or units? How many units? 10, remember 000. You were talking about that. 10,000. That's your magic number.
10,000 units.
Ooh, my mom gave a lot of my toys away. Damn, mom. They don't understand. They don't understand.
They don't understand. The value. They don't understand. Yo, I remember. So speaking of that, right? So, you know, my brother. Yeah. So I made an admission. I said, you know what? When I'm able to do it, I'm going to get everything back. And I have all my He-Man figures again. I have all my G.I. Joe figures again. I have everything in boxes, right? But you know, it took me years to re-up, right? So I remember when I was living on my own. I was living in Hollis, Queens, Jamaica, and my brother. I was babysitting his dog because my brother went to Puerto Rico. So his dog. So I had to walk the dog, and I remember walking a dog in my neighborhood, walking around, and I see out in the trash, waiting for the garbage man to pick it up, with boxes and boxes of comics. And I was like, oh, hell no. So I grabbed the box. I took it back. I came back, grabbed another box, took it back, came back. I took all of them. Yo, they had, and I got them all still in boxes. I bagged everything and boarded everything. You know, put them all, whatever. I got like all the Star Treks. It's crazy. I got so many stuff. But I was like, who would throw that away? They probably did to this kid what they did to me. Yes. It's like, it's probably the wife, like pissed off at the husband. I'm tired of your habits. This has got to go. It's either the comics or it's me. And, you know, he's like, you know, begrudgingly said, okay, baby, okay. And she threw it all out. I was like, oh, hell no. Thank you, sir. I'll take it. Bang. Mm-hmm. I said, why didn't he just call, you know, and try to get a couple of bucks from it? It's like, wow, yeah. Your loss is my treasure.
So you picked it up and you took it home. Nice.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Oh man, but yeah, no. So 10,000 units.
Sam. You have to sell them. That's
the number you came up to.
Yeah, in order to make a profit from sales, and to be able to reprint another 10,000. So in order to make the money to reprint and also to put a little money in your pocket, you need at least 10,000 units to sell if you want to make a profit. If you just want to sell and not make a profit and just make the money to print again and not make any money. About 7,500 units, but 10,000 will put some money in your pocket.
And that's you selling the books at how much?
$5 a pop for floppies.
$5 a pop. Yep. You know, I was on the live stream with Dan yesterday, and we were talking about what they're pricing their comics at. And Dan had said he prices his comics at about $8 or $9, wow. Even at shows. Robert, who has a book called Retribution, said he was pricing it at about $6. So.
Interesting.
You know, the numbers are starting to go up because the printing costs are starting to go up a lot. And we were talking about, especially when you do print on demand, you're probably paying about $3.50 nowadays for a full color book, you know, depending on the amount of pages. And so I asked Dan, I said, how many pages are in your book? 30 pages a story. And then he has a whole bunch of, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
So it's costing a lot more money to print the book. Therefore, the markup has to be higher.
Even the production cost, the cost of, you know, if you have to hire people, you know, you gotta account for all that stuff. So if you're paying for a colorist, if you're paying for an editor, you know, because if you're paying for an illustrator, if you're an illustrator and you paid a writer because you didn't want to write, if you're putting money out of pocket plus the printing cost plus the shipping cost, right? And you know, all that stuff comes into play. I mean, the cost of shipping has increased. Everything has increased. Supplies have increased, the cost of supplies. So you have to, you know, you're either going to do this to just make enough money to redo it, or you want to try to make some cash back. And that's the, unfortunately, I mean, you look at it, inflation, they just raised it again, the interest rates by another fraction or percentage. So it's like the highest than it's ever been. And we knew this was coming because he keeps taking, giving money away. So we knew it was gonna you know,
don't get political, Sam. Don't get political.
Look at the real estate market. It's you know, before everyone was, I got lucky, right? Yeah. When I got this house, I got lucky when I sold my house in Jersey.
Yeah, you just made it. I just made it.
Now I got a buddy who has to rent the house because they want you to have, I forgot how much money do you need to have in a bank in order to get a home. It's tough.
Damn, that's nuts, bro. But yeah, no, it definitely, there's a lot of factors that go into the production of a lot of these comic books.
Yeah.
And when the demand isn't there like the way it used to be, then obviously you're going to have to increase the amount of money you're charging for it. So, and I think that's where a lot of these crowdfunding campaigns come into play. And building a solid fan base to help you, you know, fund a lot of these things. Which the big guys have, you know, Todd McFarlane throws up anything on crowdfunding and boom, he's making $1 million. It's not even a question. Who was it? The one, I think you said, Billy Tucci just has a campaign up right now for She, right?
She, yeah. I mean, I think in the first hour he did 12,000. I think the last time I checked, who is over $38,000 or whatever. He's killing it.
I almost cried when I made 1,000. This guy's got 12,000 in an hour. Are you able to sell internationally? So I've set up an Amazon store for some of my stuff on the website, and they started to allow to sell international. So I can sell to Germany, France, Italy, the UK, Japan, but that's for certain items. That's not like the comics don't sell internet. Like I can't sell comics internationally. I have one of the comics that I have, I'm selling it on Kablam, on Indie Planet. And I don't think that they sell international. I think that's just here in the States. And big shout out to JM DeSantis and Darkfire Press. You know, right now we're in talks for distribution here, but it's just national distribution. So there's nothing international yet. Which, you know, hopefully, you know, if everything goes right, we can get there. But as of right now, and obviously, shipping internationally is very expensive as well. You know, so that's even in crowdfunding. It gets expensive. So, you know, you're charging, how much did you have to charge? Like, didn't you ship something internationally, Sam? And it was like
$30.
$30 to ship internationally. So imagine you're pledging for a book, $10, whatever for a book. Then you got to add $30 for shipping. And so a 24 page comic is $40. Like who's paying for that? You know?
Yeah. I think I've only had 4 international sales.
Yeah. I've limited like mine right now. I think as far as I go is Canada and Puerto Rico. That's as international as I go on these.
Yeah, I think Canada I charge 25.
Yeah, so it's tough. I mean,
because the reason why is because the first campaigns we did when I went to ship internationally, I got robbed. I didn't realize the price variance. I was like, well, oh my God. So I lost out. So I was paying out of pocket for that extra that wasn't equated into the Kickstarter campaign. I was like, damn.
And I think that's why it's important not to just make your goal, but to exceed your goal. You know what I mean? And that's where the stretch goals come into play and stuff like that.
Because it all pays for it all, like the digital sales, that pays for the supplies, the way I look at it, the boxes, the bubble wrap, you know, all that stuff that you got
to
get.
Yeah, because you want to make sure that the comics get to where they go in good condition.
And the bags and boards. Damaged, you know?
Yeah. Everything gets bagged and bored. You know what I mean? So, you know, everything is as protected as it can possibly be. Plus, you have all that other swag you're throwing in there, and you don't want that to get damaged. So, you know, you got that going on. But yeah, no, there's quite an undertaking when it comes to this kind of stuff. So yeah it's interesting.
It's huge. You know, but I mean, there's a lot of a lot of campaigns that launched that are doing really well. Dustin Brunell's on fire. You know, he's killing
it.
Shout out
to Dustin. Yeah.
Every one of his campaigns get bigger and better. Who just launched?
Philip Russert.
Philip Russert, he was funded in the first hour. Killing it.
It's crazy because I had that whole situation last night where I was trying to launch and it wouldn't go. He actually didn't get approved until the day of the launch,
which is crazy.
That's nuts. That's nuts. How do you get approved? Like they told him, yeah, you'll be approved by the 28th. So he's like, all right. May 3rd, launch. Next thing you know.
See, there's got to be, you know, so, you know, if you did all your due diligence, here's anybody who's running a Kickstarter. One of the things that you got to do is make sure that you get everything out, right? Everything's fulfilled. And then you have to go back onto Kickstarter. You have to do all the stuff. You got to send the surveys. you got to make sure you did that. You got to go and make sure that you update it. So like if you're saying in production, you got to make sure that every single thing is under in production. You got to hit all. If it's shipped, you got to put everything shipped. Well, until all those things are done, Kickstarter is not going to release you. Because when I went to launch Disneyland in my toilet, when I went to create the landing page for the second issue, as soon as I hit submit the campaign to them, it was like 3 seconds. They said approved.
Yeah.
3 seconds.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because, no, you're right.
Because they have an algorithm that goes and screens everything. Yes, all this was done. This was done. This was done. And boom, they're like, you're approved. Congratulations. So you got to just make sure that you check all those boxes off and you do all that back end due diligence. It's time consuming, but you have to do it.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But yeah, brother. I mean, listen, I'm going to have to go back to the JOB, but this has been a fun show. And thank you so much, everyone, for coming on once again. Last night was fun. This morning's a good time.
Yes.
We will have a show. Obviously, you can watch the re-air, or it's up there already, of last night's show this Friday, tomorrow. And then next week, we're going to come back with a brand new guest. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And yeah. Big shout out to everyone. I'm about $540 away from
unlocking this morning.
The stretch goal, the $2,000 stretch goal, which gives you a print. So, yeah, so we're about $540 away from that. Big shout out to everybody. I don't know if you guys, but last night I mentioned that every 25 backers that I get, so right now we're nearing that also, I'm going to be giving away I'm going to be sending out this little card that I made up, where if you know, see me at any convention next year, October or so, I will have part two of the Ferrorian Takeover, the graphic novel, and I will be giving that away to that random person that gets that in their box. So yes. Make sure you keep pledging. And no, thank you guys so much for everything. 1460. Yes. I would have never thought that it was going to be that. But yeah, make sure you go to the campaign, scroll all the way to the bottom. Sammy's campaign is on there. Make sure you follow. There's an alien in my toilet. You know, the followers. Let's get them growing.
Yeah, sign up. And don't forget, everybody who backs both campaigns, you sign up for Designated in My Toilet. You back The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Everybody will be getting this refrigerated magnet for your refrigerator. Boom. As a token of my appreciation. And if you're a return backer, you're going to get that as well. So if you're a first-time backer, you're going to get the refrigerator magnet and a bookmark. If you're a first-time backer, so if you didn't back issue one, but you come back for issue two and do a physical backing, you're going to get the bookmark and the refrigerator magnet. If you're a return, you're going to get the magnet. Thank you all. This one launches the 31st of May. So, yeah, so thank you, everybody, who made last night a success. Thank you, everybody, who joined us for the morning brew. I hope you guys had your cup of joe this morning. Great conversation. Yes. I'm going to bed now. I work the night shift.
Hey, thank you so much, thank you, man.
Brother.
Appreciate
it. I know. I'm so exhausted. I got to go to my garage and work out.
Nice.
But so thank you, everybody. And we appreciate every single one of you. Again, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hit that like button if you haven't done so already. Do we have anybody tomorrow? Or was the live show?
No, this is, like I just said, it's the replay.
Oh, there you go. The replay. There you go.
Tomorrow, yes. Next week, we'll come back with a brand new guest.
With a brand new guest. So with that said, I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And please. Wait, one more comment. What's that?
What we got?
Oh, late bloomer. John, here's our late. Got some McDonald's.
Sorry, Johnny. Dude, baby. Did you see?
Sorry, Johnny. We out. Peace out.